a game, so I explain it pretty easily. Listen, I'm only going to explain this one more time. Because he's forced out. It's a force. Because he must. He must.
Happy New Year, bitches.
That's how you wanted to start?
Yeah. Hi, welcome back to it's been a hot second since we've been here, but here we are.
The re-resurrection of Because They Must.
Wow. We resurrect every few months.
Well,
I like to hibernate at least four times a year.
And it's almost like we're doing our own season. Like sports happens in seasons. We're doing this when we feel
you're
in season.
Reaching so hard. It's okay.
All right.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
All right. Well, welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
And
to Because They Must, a sports history podcast hosted by me, Sophia Burks.
And me, Tyler Ross.
We're here. 2023.
Yeah. Welcome. I'm so excited. I feel so re-energetic. Jized in it, so I have some people I'm excited to talk about, like this first person.
Oh my god, we're jumping right in. You never it's always just right on in. Where's the foreplay? Where is it? Woo me a little bit. What's new? What's happening?
I mean, I spent
what's happening in the world of sports? What's going on?
It's the
not many people know this, but Tyler always knows what's happening with sports all of the time because he has a gambling addiction.
I don't think that's exactly true because I haven't been gambling since we've been down here.
Yeah, because
in Georgia.
You can't. Said multiple times that you want to drive to a state line just so that you can place a bet. You sociopath. You have a problem.
I'm not the only person that feels that way, so I don't feel bad.
They have problems too. It's called being gambling addicts. They literally have support groups full of people like you, Tyler.
Listen, I set limits, like they say, and that's it.
Oh, my God. Anyway, what's happening in the world of sports? What's the big news? Did you see that guy whose wife went into labor? He was a sportscaster in the mid-show.
Robert Griffin, former Cleveland Browns quarterback for, like, a minute.
A minute?
Yeah.
I feel like they just, like, go through that like toilet paper, you know what I mean?
Some of them, yeah. He's one of the guys where if you look up like jerseys on clearance on the Browns website, mm-hmm. they still have some of his jerseys that are still available to buy for like $15 when they're normally like over $100.
They're over $100?
Yeah, the like NFL certified ones.
What?
Yeah, that's why whenever
Have you bought a jersey for over $100?
No.
Why would you spend over $100 for a athletic jersey with another person's name on it?
There's people that do it, but I
over
use a certain
$100.
That's why I use that like off-site, off, you know, the knockoff website to get jerseys.
I can't even like spend that much on shoes, and I need those to walk around.
I mean, there's people that buy them, not me, but yeah. It's a
That's
thing.
That's crazy. So I guess it makes sense to get one once, like, a player doesn't play for that team anymore.
And they just have the jerseys made.
And then, you know what? If you take up a new hobby, you can sew a new name over it. You can, like, make like little and put Velcro on it so it's like interchangeable, specifically for Browns fans. I think that's really important for them because they're, you know,
I think you've stumbled into a new market.
I think that this should work. You just make a jersey, and this would be worth $100 because you could wear it forever. It's always going to be relevant. You could even do the numbers. You could Velcro the numbers and the name onto the this is a good idea, I think, because you know, you want to support the team, you know. And
you want to stay updated.
Yes. And depending on who's doing good, even, like, it doesn't have to be, like, they're not on the team anymore. But you're like, you know, speaking for the Browns because it's really the only football team I know multiple players' names, be like, you know, this game, I want to go and I specifically want to support Myles Garrett. So then you can switch out and put his name on the back, his numbers, and boom, you're supporting Myles Garrett. The next time you go, you're like, you know what? Nick Chubb is my guy. I have to put his name on. And there you go. But of course, if you are still rooting for the Browns, you are a bad person. So, but unfortunately, they were the only names I could.
And, you know, it's impressive that you know all those names. So.
I do. I do know a few.
Well, we're going to talk about not a Cleveland Browns player.
I love that because honestly.
No need.
Boo. Tomato, tomato. What a bad time.
Fall from grace.
Honestly, I hate the sports industry mainly for this that specific reason.
Well, the guy we're going to talk about today is like one of my favorite players, not because of how great he is, but because he is so he does a lot of stuff outside of the sport and he's a big like personality.
Uh-oh.
So
uh-oh. I don't ever trust someone
if you don't remember,
that like is described as having a big personality.
How about this? If you remember the very last tease from the very last episode we did.
I don't even remember the last episode we did.
Perfect. I said the tease was that this person has at one point. I could have tied this into New Year's, but this person has at one point been on the show. Watch What Happens Live.
What I love. Watch What Happens
And I've
live.
Spent most of this
Honestly,
morning watching Andy Cohen, Anderson
because
Cooper
Andy
clips.
Cohen is a very good journalist. Rafe Fiennes performed a monologue of a Real Housewife, and that's the fucking Super Bowl, baby, on that show. That was so good.
Okay.
I love that show. Okay, wait. So what sport are we talking about first and foremost?
Well, let me get into hockey.
We're going to talk about hockey?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's why I love this guy so much. Okay.
Okay. I just want to start off by saying I love hockey. I feel like I have learned a lot about hockey because of this podcast. So much so that whenever someone brings up hockey now, I always say my favorite fact from first episodes. I love this fact so much. Let me just remind our loyal listeners that the first ever fight in hockey was between the hockey players and a group of figure skaters that said it was their turn on the ice.
Watching you do this in real life was so fun to watch you like quote that. I was like,
I do it a lot, like, because it makes me feel really cool. I love fun facts.
It is cool.
That's the best part about sports is fun facts.
Well, we have some fun facts coming.
Ooh, okay.
So our hockey player's name is Sean Avery.
Sean Avery. Okay.
And he was born in 1980, April 10th.
1980? Mm-hmm. Okay. April, I don't know what star sign that is. Ow.
I'm actually surprised that didn't come up when I was writing this. But anyway, he was born in Ontario. Both of his parents are teachers.
Okay. Teachers of what? Do you know?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, that would be important. Mm. Not all teachers are the same. A math teacher is very different from an English teacher.
He played junior hockey in the OHL, which is the Ontario Hockey League. So it's like semi-pro. Mm-hmm. He played for, it's called the Owen Sound Platers and the Kingston Frontenacs.
Frontenacs?
Frontenacs, yeah.
What?
Front. N-Axe.
Axe?
A-C-S. Frontenacs.
What?
I don't know what a frontenac is.
Let me see it. Yeah. Let me see this word.
Kay.
Let me see.
Here's
Show
the word.
Me. It frontenacs, yeah.
That's the word. It doesn't really, yeah, there's no, it's just a K. For anyone listening, that's all the logo is. It's a K. It's not like.
It's nothing special.
Nothing special. Anyway.
Nothing I can really get behind.
So he played.
The name is everything if you want my support.
It's great. And that's one that's difficult to say. So.
And also, I don't like the branding of it. Anyway, this isn't about that.
So after he got done playing in the OHL, because you age out of it.
So, like, what age is he right now? Like 18?
No, so 21 is when you age out of it. Because this is for, like, going up to potentially getting drafted in the NHL.
What's the, like, lowest age that can play in that?
15.
So there's like 15-year-olds and 21-year-olds versing each other?
Correct.
That feels crazy.
There's a bunch of different rules about it now, but many of people, like, I played at against when I was, like, younger, would jump in when they were 15, 16, like, first able to go in. And when they're really good, they're still really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the older people that are at that age probably aren't usually the, like, best of the best. So, mm-hmm. you know, the, like, skill, it's hard to describe.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking of, like, body mass.
Yeah, that's fair, too. Anyway, so after he got done, he signed as a free agent. He was undrafted in 1999 with the Detroit Red Wings. So he signed a contract, so that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got sent down to the minor leagues to play for the Cincinnati Mighty Ducks of the American Hockey League.
The Mighty Ducks is in the movie Mighty Ducks?
Cincinnati Mighty Ducks, yeah.
Does the Mighty Ducks taste place in Cincinnati?
No, but...
What?
So, what's really funny about the Anaheim Ducks is at one point they were the Mighty Ducks, but then they went back to just being the Ducks.
So, oh my God. So, the team name in that movie is just the Ducks? Or are they the Mighty Ducks?
No, I think they're the Mighty Ducks in the movie, but they are currently the Ducks, like the professional team. But at some point, teams were like, yeah, let's go with the Mighty Ducks because that would be like a good idea or something. I don't know. I think I'm remembering. They left it, quote, they wanted to leave that in the past, and they wanted to become a serious hockey team.
What, the Mighty Ducks from Anaheim?
Yeah, from going from the Mighty Ducks to just being the
Because
Ducks.
They didn't want to be associated with the movies anymore. That's their main thing. That's why people would go to... What? That is silly.
Well, I'm just telling you what happened.
That is so silly.
So while he was playing in 2001, so we're jumping 2 years ahead, he played 36 games for the Detroit Red Wings. So, like, actually in the NHL.
Okay.
And...
Red Wing, also not a great... logo.
Yeah, it's pretty, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Doesn't it look like a tire? Am I thinking of it wrong?
It's got a D on it, and so I guess it kind of does.
I always thought it looks like a tire on fire.
So 36 with the Red Wings, 36 in the minors. The Red Wings won the Stanley Cup that year he was playing there, and he was going to even get his name on the Stanley Cup for... But you have to play 41 games.
Oh, and how many did he have?
36.
Oh, he was so... Give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's being... You know, rules are dumb, and we made them all up. Every rule that exists, we fucking created. You know what I mean? Like, it just is so silly when it's like, oh, he can't have it because it was 5 games away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he obviously contributed. He was on the team. Put his name on there. On there now.
After the season, he was traded to the Los Angeles Kings.
Okay.
And in 2003 to 2004, he led the NHL in penalty minutes.
His timeouts,
okay. Yes.
Can I say what I revealed to you the other day about what I thought penalties were in hockey?
So your question was, why don't the goalies go into the penalty box?
Yes. And... because I thought, you know, if they are being aggressive, like, they should be, like, taken out. They need to, like, be punished. They need to have their penalty. I didn't realize that, like, the penalty is so that the other team gets an advantage over them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, the penalty box was literally, like, a cool down box for, like, the really aggro players that, like, are hotheads. They're like, you gotta, like, get your shit together, get into that penalty box, like, you better think about what you just did, pretty much.
I feel like you took that from when we watched Slapshot, and at the beginning he's describing penalties and he's like, you go in the box and you feel shame, and I feel like you heard that and it implanted in your brain as like, yeah, they just go there to feel bad.
Yeah, like the penalty box is essentially the chokey from Matilda.
So I still want to stress that he's like a good player, but he just gets a lot of penalties. Okay.
Okay. For like, what are his penalties usually? Like, is it for,
he's just like a chippy player.
Okay. So, like, I know what that means now. Yeah,
boom.
So he'll just like hit people with sticks usually. Is that?
Yeah. And he tries to bait people a lot, which will come up
wiggling those
soon.
Little jazz hands at them.
Yeah. There's a lockout that happened in the NHL the year following.
Is that kind of like the writer's strike?
Yes. It is kind of like the writer's strike.
The Broadway writer's strike.
So the players jazzed hand their way out of the rink, and there was a lockout. Uh-huh. No. So he went to play in the United Hockey League. So he
but
played...
what is a lockout? Is that just the players are not allowed in the stadium because of contract negotiations?
Exactly. They just call it a lockout when, like, the players and the owners haven't come to, like, an agreement so they don't move forward with the season.
Got it. So the writer's strike.
Yes. So he played for the Motor City Mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And all the...
I picture them, like, coming out and their uniforms look like mechanic, like, onesies.
That's amazing. So
that would be like really good branding. I think they should look into doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you call them up after
and
the
then
episode.
We
I'll
can add Velcro and they can easily change out their players.
So during his 16 games there,
mm-hmm.
he had
oh
one...
so not a lot.
Yeah, because it was just a short time while they were locked up.
Oh, right. It's the lockout.
Or I don't know if it was just the end of the season for the UH. I can't remember. But he had 149 penalty minutes, which is 9.3 penalty minutes a game.
Oh, my God.
He also...
It's like the whole game.
He also, during that same 16 games, mm-hmm. got 26 points. Yes.
So, okay, that was just from 16 games, that amount of penalty time?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So, 149 minutes breaks down to 9. So, you know, there's probably, like, a couple fights in there, like
yeah.
a 10-minute misconduct. But he also got 26 points, so that's 2 hat tricks. So, 2 different games he scored 3 goals in the game
oh
while also
God.
Potentially getting 9 penalty minutes. And it was made him the first player in the Mechanics history to record 2 hat tricks in one season. And that was just over the course of 16 games.
I mean, what's a hat trick?
When you score 3 goals in one game.
Why is it called a hat trick?
Anyway, another episode.
No, I need to know.
It comes from like the whole thing where they would throw their hats on the ice or something.
What?
Like, we'll deep dive into it another time. And back in the NHL, 2005 to 2006,
mm-hmm.
he led the league in penalty minutes again.
Oh my God. That's wild.
Yeah. So at the end of the season, he got into an argument with the coach during practice.
His coach?
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently he didn't want to do a drill, and they started arguing. But he wasn't suspended from, like, the team. They scratched him, and so he didn't play in the final 3 games of the regular season or the playoffs.
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening because I was thinking about this movie called Go Figure, where they turn a bunch of figure skaters into hockey players for a second. What did you say?
Him and his coach got into arguments.
Okay.
He didn't play for a bunch of games because of that.
Okay.
And this kind of is like starts to be the bigger thing pattern of like his off ice comments, I guess we'll say.
His what?
Off ice comments.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, in this exact season during an exhibition game, so like not one of the league games, a teammate of him got a concussion because of some hit, and Avery wanted to say, I think it was typical of most French guys in our league with a visor on, running around, playing tough and not backing anything up. So it kind of blamed him for taking, like, for getting hurt because
for being
just,
French.
Yeah, basically.
Honestly, same.
This year he was also fined $1,000 for taking a dive. So it was like some, you know, he got a penalty for diving instead of someone like tripping him. He faked it.
Oh.
And that was the only... He was the first player fined for diving after getting a second warning for doing it.
Oh, my God.
And he didn't like that. And
okay.
he went on to say, how can a guy sitting in an office in New York determine if you dived or not by watching tape? He asked that to, like, an LA Times reporter.
Mm-hmm. Was it very obvious because...
Yes.
Okay.
This is, like, kind of his thing. He's, like... gets people trying to get penalties for his team. He's an agitator. Like, that's
okay.
the best way to describe it.
There was
him.
A House episode about an agitator hockey player that gets sick in the middle of a game. Do you remember that? That was a good episode.
I mean, House is just full of bangers, so yeah.
And it was a lot of commentary on, you know, the concussion of it all when it comes to sports.
Yikes, maybe they need to do a new one about that.
They definitely do. Honestly, it's an ongoing problem.
So
I would never let my kid do football, concussion sports. Probably not hockey either.
Okay. Good to know.
It's cool for a young little brain rattling around. You're not allowed to shake babies. Why would we let little kids break their heads against each other?
Wow, solid.
Riddle
point.
Me that.
There we go. Sean Avery would also go on to suggest that the NHL just wanted to keep punishing him for derogatory remarks he made at another player.
His for being French.
Well, for being a person of color. Yeah, his name's George LaRocque.
Mm-hmm.
And another player, he said, no question that this is a way for the league to do something to me. It has nothing to do with diving. How can they sit at the desk and do that, like I said?
Okay, he just sounds like a real bad guy at this point. He thinks he's the number one guy in the group.
That's very true. So after he said that, they fined him another $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the commissioner said, Mr. Avery's comments showed a complete lack of respect for all those associated with our game, most importantly, his fellow players.
Mm-hmm.
He's besmirched the reputation of NHL players, coaches, general managers, owners, who collectively have been successful in providing more entertaining game for our fans. He was reported for... And it was like a book or something. He was bullying his teammate for having a lisp and said that his wife wasn't glamorous for a hockey player living in Hollywood.
What? That is one of the lamest burns I think I've ever heard someone. Your wife is not glamorous.
Like, he's like, you're a pro player in Hollywood. You should be pulling hotter girls was basically what he was trying
but
to say.
But he used the word glamorous?
Yes.
That's silly.
That player went on and had, like, a good career other places. I forget who it was. In 2007, he was traded to the New York Rangers. He scored 20 points in 29 games and had a career-high 4 points in a game, and he got 1 goal, 3 assists. They went to go to the playoffs. In his first playoff game, he scored a goal, which was his first ever playoff goal. So that's pretty awesome for them. They didn't win that year.
Okay.
He also set a record for the fastest goal scored by a Ranger on home ice. He scored 10 seconds into a game.
Oh my God, that is the dumbest. No, that is such a dumb fact. For like this is why I think sports are so stupid most of the time. Everything's a record breaker. Everything's like, oh, this is the first time on like home ice that this specific team has hit a puck this fast. I don't care.
I don't care
which team won, which team lost. Like, these stupid little records make it seem like sports history books. Like, no one cares about the fastest puck the Rangers had on their home ice. No one cares. Dumb.
Right.
I hate sports.
Well, now we're going to
get... Come on, what's the juice?
We're
just
about
giving
to get
me
you the
all
juice.
These
in 2008,
blah, blah, blah.
In 2008, he got a rule named after him.
Okay, now we're talking.
Called the Avery Rule.
Okay, here we go.
This rule makes it illegal for a player to stand in front of the goalie and wave his or her sticks in the netminder's face. This is the official item. So what happens...
You can't like blatantly taunt the goalie?
No.
That's
so
like,
if
why
you
would
to...
you do that in the first place? The fact that he was standing in front of this guy just going, I imagine him going like, na 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 na.
Oh, you're about to see it right now.
Okay, let me see.
So I'm going to show you it. So this is between him and Martin Brodeur. This is New York versus New Jersey. So you're going to...
I saw him. He just did it.
Him and this goalie have many, many a game where they've kind of like beefed. So yeah, as you can see, he's turning
this
around,
is egregious.
Not even facing the play.
No, he just is like being an asshole.
During the play, one of his teammates comes and asks him to stop.
I know, look, I just, yeah, oh my God. Because it's literally embarrassing. Like, this is embarrassing. Like, this other player just hit him, and it's honestly like good for her. You know what I mean?
So you're going to be so mad.
Okay.
when you find out at the end of this play what happens.
Does he get a goal?
He sure does.
I hate that. I hate when men win.
Anyway, so him and this goalie, they have a lot of different, like, beefs.
Yeah.
And because of this specific game, they made a whole play, or a whole rule, just so people could never do this again.
Yeah, that's so stupid. And you know what? I wouldn't name it after him. Don't give him the glory.
So, yeah.
Call it the don't be an asshole rule. Don't be an asshole.
Well, so after that season,
mm-hmm.
they didn't re-sign him, but he did go sign a big contract in Dallas for $15.5 million.
I think it's so funny to think about places like Texas having, like, a hockey team because it's so not cold there. You know?
Yeah. So this is where...
I know that was a really dumb observation, but I think that it's just, like, funny to think about winter sports in the middle of, like, a Texas summer.
I think that's fair. So this is where he starts.
Can you cut that comment out of this episode? It was so dumb.
Maybe. We'll see.
Oh, no.
So this is where he starts getting, like, messy publicly in a more mainstream, like, pop.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he got suspended after making public comments about another player who was dating an old girlfriend of his. Actress Elizabeth Cuthbert.
Was she glamorous?
She's in, like, a bunch of movies. I just said her name wrong. I know. Alicia, what movie was she in? I should have looked this up. This actress.
Oh, I kind of know her. Okay. She looks kind of familiar.
Anywhoozle. So during a press conference that someone else was in, he walks over and just to the camera goes, I'm really happy to be back in Calgary. I love Canada. I just want to comment how it's become, like, a common thing in the NHL for guys to fall in love with my sloppy seconds.
What?
I don't know what that's about. Enjoy the game tonight.
I don't know what that's about. It's like actually peak comedy right there. That is okay. And it wasn't even his press conference?
Either, like, it was, or he brought people over so he could publicly just put that out
God,
there. Yeah, I can't remember.
But no one else has dated an ex-girlfriend of his. It's just
model Rachel
guy.
Hunter was dating a Los Angeles Kings player as well.
And he had dated her?
Yeah.
Okay.
He apologized the next day, calling his actions inappropriate and a bad attempt to build excitement for the game.
What? How does that... Were they versing each other?
Yeah, that was were in Canada.
You're leaving a lot of things out here. Or I'm just not paying attention.
I meant when he was in Calgary with Texas, with Dallas, they're playing a game up there.
Yeah, I think before it doesn't matter.
Anyway, so
how even still?
So we went to anger management counseling after all this.
Oh my god.
After his suspension was up from anger management, they didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
To the Stars.
Because he's a psycho.
They didn't say anything except for they just didn't want him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, he goes a different way. In 2008, during the offseason, it was announced that he would be spending the summer interning at Vogue magazine.
I never could have predicted. Actually, I could. Because when he said that whole glamorous thing, I was like, wait a second. Who is this guy? And now I feel like maybe he's just following his real dream. He wants to tell women how to be glamorous. And if you're not glamorous, sucks.
In 2008, Avery guest edited mensvogue.com. His interest mainly resides with women's fashion. Of men's fashion, Avery has said, you do suits and pants, that's about it. Women's clothes tells the story. That's what's interesting to me.
Maybe this guy just actually hated being a hockey player. And that's why he was so chippy. Like, he was like, someone forced me to stop. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. Just scrap it already. Like, I feel like he didn't really want to play hockey. His heart was in fashion, in women's fashion. Wow. Okay. Except for the... bigot stuff. Yeah. That's bad.
There was a movie in development at New Line Cinema about Sean's fashion industry adventures as a hockey player. It was supposed to be a romantic comedy. I couldn't really find any follow-up on it right now.
He's the ex-hockey player, now magazine editor, that doesn't believe in Christmas. But when he returns home, he'll find that love was the real present under the tree all along.
So this kind of like sums up his vogue in like hockey interest. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's great to be into something you care about. This is to the Hollywood Reporter. Mm-hmm. But I'm still an athlete who likes to beat the crap out of people.
Okay. He is insecure about his true nature and his true passions. And that's sad.
In 2009.
Masculinity sucks. I think it is a poison and a cancer on the world, if I'm being quite honest.
He's balancing both, though.
Did you just hear what he just said?
He likes to beat the crap. That's hockey. You said that was
that's
the reason.
That's baseball, baby.
In 2009, he worked for the men's fashion label Commonwealth Utilities and presented a clothing line for New York Fashion Week.
What? That's incredible.
After 2009, he would just play for a bunch of different minor league teams. Mm-hmm. One of the teams was called...
Okay, because hockey was his hobby, but fashion was his passion.
Yeah, he got called up by the minor league team for the Rangers, but the Rangers never claimed him to play in the NHL, so again, he stayed in the minor league. Mm-hmm. In 2011, he stated his support for same-sex marriage in a video that is part of the New Yorkers for Marriage Equality campaign organized by gay rights organization Human Rights Campaign, mm-hmm. in which he said, "I'm Sean Avery, and I'm a New Yorker for marriage equality. I treat everyone in the way I expect to be treated, and that applies to marriage."
Wow, so one good thing.
He also said committed couples should be able to marry the person they love. Mm-hmm. Please join me in supporting marriage equality. He says any ribbing by his opponent for his support of marriage equality is no big deal. People have been calling me names for 10 years just because I like to wear nice suits. It's going to take a lot to get me upset or get under my skin.
Wow. I want to say good for him, but he also was racist, so I can't. And we're not going to let our audience forget that he said racist, bigoted comments.
Okay. Thank you for keeping the note.
I think it's important. I think that, like, you know, just because you're good, you have good sense of humanity in other aspects of the world, when you don't, like, you know, that needs to be remembered. That mm-hmm. needs to stay present within these conversations.
It'll come back at the end, too, a little.
Okay.
On March 12th, 2012, he retired. He announced his retirement on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, saying, "I threw my skates into the Hudson."
Wow. 2023, the year of female range.
It was rumored in 2013 that he was engaged to Andy Cohen and addressed it on the show live, with Bethany Frankel also being on the show at the same time.
Oh my God, she's a mess on that show, is what I'll say. Like, she's good when she's edited down. Unfiltered, just, you know, letting her go. She's very unhinged. It's hard to watch a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. But I love Andy Cohen.
Well,
and there was also a rumor that Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper worked together for a long time.
Honestly, forever. I just thought that's why they hosted that together every New
They're
Year's.
They're just best friends. They're best friends, and we love that for them. Well, they're the best thing about New Year's Eve now.
In his memoir, he wrote, "I'm certainly not going to claim to be perfect. I'm not even going to claim to be a good guy."
Okay.
And he also coined his own Sean Avery hat trick, which mm-hmm. he says consists of playing a great game, going to a club after and getting wasted, then taking a supermodel home for a nightcap that lasts until sunrise. So,
okay. Like, what?
It was just fun.
Okay.
In 2011.
Like, what do you say? Like, good for you, dude. Like,
In 2011, at his house in California, he was accused of shoving a police officer and referring to all the officers as fat little piggies.
Oh my God. Oh, okay, I might be a fan now because ACAB and also.
The charges were later
fat
dropped.
Little piggies. That is so funny. Oh my God, they are fat little piggies.
He also threw rocks at cars that were driving too fast in his neighborhood.
Okay.
In 2015, he married model Hillary Ronda. Their wedding was at the Parrish Art Museum, and they have a son that was born in 2020.
Nice.
In 2016, he was arrested for painkillers with having oxycodone on his person without a prescription.
Yikes.
He's kind of a dick, too. He went through this streak where he was just filming homeless people on Snapchat and just being, like, rude to them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you remember that time that Lindsay Lohan tried to, like, steal that kid?
Oh, my God.
Do you
God.
Remember that on her Instagram Live?
I do.
That was crazy. And then the mom, like, obviously tried to, like, hit her and, like, get her away. And she, like, freaked out. That was insane. I think as a society, we should not forget that she did that.
He had a, in 2019, he was riding his scooter in the bike lane and it hit a car door that was blocking the bike lane and started a fight with a guy. And he was charged with criminal mischief for the fight. And he later told the New York Post, if I need to be the poster boy for defending the bike lanes, I will absolutely do that. We need to be able to just bike in freedom.
Also, I've never heard of anyone being charged with mischief.
I forget what. There was like a scuffle with him and the driver, and I think that's part of it. So to bring it closer to where we are, in 2022, he signed a contract with the minor league hockey team, the Orlando Solar Bears.
Solar Bears. They have a great logo.
As soon as it was announced, a bunch of the players that he don't like him were tweeting out, any minor league team that wants to sign me, let me play one game against him.
Oh my god.
And the one player he was like notably like racist against, George LaRocque, is this giant dude that is known for fighting. And he was like, yeah, I'll come back just to fight this guy in the minor
leagues. And did
he? So after 2 days, he was released and didn't get to play a single game.
Oh.
In 2004.
Because there was just so much backlash.
Yeah, I think it's just like they couldn't get it together. He's probably a little too eccentric, and I think that would sell them tickets is probably what happened.
Yeah.
One of those things. Okay, so this is his little acting segment part of it.
Oh, no.
In 2014, he joined an off-Broadway play called Negative is Positive, which centers on an interracial married couple. And Avery was supposed to be the lead character's best friend. 2 days before it opens, from Page Six.
Oh, no.
On Monday.
From all the times I've watched Real Housewives of New York, nothing good happens that comes from Page Six, is what I'll say.
Quote, on Monday.
Tell me it's about Tom.
Avery left rehearsal early after growing agitated. On Tuesday, Avery's behavior was worse. According to Smith Sloman, when a young assistant stage manager asked the athlete-turned-actor if he wanted a slice of pizza, he said no, but somehow thought the assistant called him an asshole. So he said, I was talking shit and that I was so full of shit, and that assistant left in tears. And then they were like, yeah, he's a madman. And Avery told the director, don't you know who I am?
Hockey play? Yeah. What?
It's a complete horror story. Avery had a meltdown in rehearsals and quit. He pretty much snapped, end quote.
Yikes.
So they were like, yeah, we don't want him back. He can't threaten people.
It's a good stance.
In 2007, he was in an episode of Mad TV with other Los Angeles Kings teammates.
Okay.
The same year, he was on People's Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive.
He was the sexiest man alive? Or he was in the, because I think
he was in the spread.
Other sexy men.
Yeah, I don't think he was the main guy. Mm-hmm. He was not the number one guy, unfortunately, for this one.
Yeah, I haven't even seen what this guy looks like. Is he even sexy? I'll let you viewers know. I'll be honest about
it. Oh, yeah, I haven't really shown you a picture of him yet.
No.
So, okay, so here's a picture of him. Time to check in what this way looks like.
Oh, my God. Not sexy, audience. Listen to me. Not sexy.
Dang.
Would not boink that person. Not sexy.
Matt Damon was the person on the cover of that
game. Now that Matt Damon is sexy.
He, at one point, was a top 10 presenter on David Letterman. He was a guest judge on Project Runway All-Stars in 2012. He's also appeared on Fashion Police in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, he was on Dancing with the Stars. He was the second couple to be eliminated on week two. He played a police officer in the movie Patriots Day.
I don't think I've ever seen Patriots Day.
And last but not least, he was Red Soldier number one in the movie Tenet.
Oh my God. I like that movie.
Yeah. He's just a random one-off person in it.
Honestly, I would say that credit is last and least for him.
Yeah. And I'm going to end with just a quote about what he thinks about himself.
God. Do not let this man speak.
I suppose I could have been better in the eyes of Benny if I bit my tongue and played the constant cheerleader role, but that would have been dishonest. I went on the 13-season tear by playing the game by my own rules and learning more and more about who I was along the way. I think I might have had more fun than any guy who ever played in the NHL.
Okay, this guy gives me a headache. Because it's not about you not telling the truth or biting your tongue. We're saying, hey, don't be fucking racist.
Don't be, yeah, like,
he's, like, don't be a, like, you can be chippy. No one's, like, saying that. Or you can say, like, that, even that thing about, like, why are all these guys dating my ex-girlfriends? Like, who even cares? That was just, like, weird. But, like, don't be, people don't like you because you're a bigot. People don't like you because you're an asshole. It has nothing to do with you being honest or telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You're a bad guy. You are choosing to be an asshole. And that's like, honestly, there's no redemption arc for that. Because even at the, like, what he has to say for himself is, I'm the number one guy in the group and no one had as much fun as me. It's like, no, you were terrible. Mm-hmm. People were literally coming out of retirement and willing to move to Florida to beat you and to fight you and to punch you in the face because you literally deserve. I actually believe this. I think that sometimes people just actually need to be punched in the face. I don't think that there's any redemption for them. I think that they think so highly of themselves that you need to remind them that they are a bag of flesh. And they are a nothing worm in this world. Because we all are just worms. And sometimes people think that they're the top-notch worm. No. You still live in the dirt. And you crawl around on the ground. And you don't know what anything means. You don't even know why you're here. None of us know why we're here. And we're all going to fucking die. So stop being fucking racist. And just play your little stick game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and you're not important. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry.
It's a hot rant.
I was a little bit of a
hot rant.
That's a
lot of pent up of, like, the lack of us doing the show. You just channeled all those months.
I really
months.
Did. I called everyone a worm. It's true, though.
Well,
you want to know how you become not a grubby worm and how you become a glow worm? It's about being, you be fucking kind and you do good and you try to make the world better than when you left it. You don't wave your hands in front of someone's fucking face and then feel proud about it. Ugh. I'm also kind of fine with the French thing because.
All right. Well, that was our story about Sean Avery.
Oh, God.
One of
the
most
sucked.
Flamboyant hockey players I could think of.
Yeah. And yet, still a man, still sucks.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Sorry I called you a worm.